CBS Monday.
NCIS!
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island, you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday, starting at 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
State of Combat Podcast, CBS Sports, your boy, the Brian Campbell on the ones and twos, rocking that mic for you, Box AO style, BC Boogs, big show planned for you, like Montel in 94, folks.
This is how we do it.
Yes. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Thank you, Dwyer. Hey, let me skip the fun and games and just bring in the world's best boxing writer, a future Detroit Free Press best-selling author. He's Ray Bartholomew.
Let me lick you up. Let me lick you down. Boxing writers, not very talented.
Limited pool. Boom, boom, boom. Bugs, we're like 60 days into this damn quarantine, or maybe 40, somewhere in the middle there. How you holding up, Broham? I hear you haven't slept all night.
Yeah, I have pulled an all-nighter, Brian. I do it for the people. I this is how we do it.
Once upon a time in 94, that's what I'm talking about.
Rich Dwyer making money in life, sure was, huh?
You know, they said for 6'8", he stood. Imagine if Dwyer's just like 6'8", with a hose. What would you think about that, Rafe? You know what I'm saying?
Did you like the follow-up single to Montel Jordan's This Is How We Do It?
I don't remember it.
Something for the Honeys? It was much slower.
No. I didn't get into that. I was very casual on that, Rafe.
So good. It was so good. Something for the honey.
Rafe, have you introduced Lubidol into your COVID at all?
It's all about the lube, man. It's all about just getting back moving.
You moving at all, Lube? Don't be stingy on it.
Jesus, it don't sting on the lube, does it?
Well, you don't want to be going in dry.
You all right over there in Detroit, Rafe?
Look, it's very moist over here right now. It rained all morning. I'm all lubed up. I am ready to go.
All right. Well, we got a show for you today. I can't guarantee it's a good one. You never know what you're going to get from the SOC box. Yes.
Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit.
There's not much to talk about here, Rafe. We got a little bit of news today, but we got a big time guest. Hit me up, Oscar, on the low. On the D, brother. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about when I say that, Rafe? I'm talking about that freak, right?
I love watching De La Hoya.
De La Hoya was a freak, yeah.
Indeed. Freak like me. He's on this show today. Golden
a
Boy
freak
Promotions.
In the morning, a freak in the evening, just like me.
That's what I'm talking about. A man who has in the past.
Rip that suit off. Show everyone your S.
Oscar De La Hoya to let us know when boxing might be coming back. The Golden Boy Promotion CEO. I want to hear about his quarantine, Rafe. He's going to be stopping by today. We'll be hitting up the latest headers, the boxing headlines. Maybe we'll just F around and fill the show with whatever comes off the dome. You know what I'm saying? On the D?
I think we should just go for a full freestyle rhyme cipher, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, 120 minutes.
Yes. Yes.
It will be ugly. It is good.
You're feeling it. You're feeling it.
Find me fighting on June 1st at MSG, Liverpool, yeah. MC, yeah. In NYC, holding it down. I ain't a clown. I'm ready to rebound. I'm a knock Miller out around the eighth round. You can't round with the champ. I lick him down like a
Sam.
I'm going to knock his head down.
Hey, yeah.
Time out. Hey, yo. What? Trash. Next.
Shout out, Rafe, to the Irish crew, the ADK crew, the Godinez crew. the Ulrich Anderson crew. A lot of people want to know how that ended, Rafe. And, you got that email, right?
It was a good finish. I like a good finish.
Yeah. Indeed. Shout out to Ulrich. You got anybody else, Rafe, you want to, you know? You got any other crews? You know what I'm saying?
Crews, the Robbie Rinaldi crews, the, you know, the Quality Bloke crews, the B-Sample Bloke crews, all the
shout
crews.
Shout out to Omaha, Nebraska!
Indeed. Shout out to you, Rafe. You're writing as... with theathletic.com, by the way, that's who you represent. And, that is the label that pays you. And you're doing some of the best work, Rafe. That Lionel Thompson story, the journeyman turned possible contender, super middleweight, who has watched that Denzel Washington movie every single day for like 2000 days in a row.
Let's put some respect on this here. It is The Equalizer, the 2014 Denzel Washington film. Have you not seen The Equalizer,
that's the thing,
Brian?
That your story, which is fantastic, by the way, and you've really filled this quarantine hole, Rafe, with a lot of this fantastic weirdness, makes me want to watch that movie big time, Rafe. I've never seen it. I've never seen Taken either.
Okay. Do you like that kind of movie? Do you like John Taken?
Is that what you sort of said in your story, Rafe?
What'd you say? Black Taken?
Black Taken.
Well, Denzel is bigger than a sort of a diversity hire. I mean, it's Denzel Taken.
Yeah.
Once Denzel steps into a genre, I think it's his. Okay. I prefer Denzel in almost any kind of role to any other actor. So even though Liam Neeson is the iconic Taken actor, and most people would give him the Taken championship belt, so to speak, to use a terrible conceit that I heard once used, I would give it to Denzel Washington because he's just better.
All right. Well, I want to get into that thing, but what are your three favorite Denzel apparent roles of all time? Go.
Okay. I got to say, I love Denzel when he is on a rampage. So my number one ever, Man on Fire.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Training Day.
I love me some Man on Fire. You got leathery Mickey Rourke looking like he's getting ready in training to fight some homeless men in Russia on a Ruslan Provodnikov undercard. You've got Mark Anthony when he was still married to J-Lo.
Post substitute, right?
Was he in The Substitute?
Yeah, with
Tom Berenger?
Yeah, he was the bad guy, the high school gangster who'd pull up in the car and that song would be like, "This is for La Raza, Raza, Raza." No, yeah,
like,
baby.
The Kid Frost playing. Oh my god.
So wow. Are you going to put He Got Game in that top 3 at all?
No. So let me I'm weird. I like the Denzel movies that aren't as good movies, but just have Denzel exuding charisma and just owning it. So I think my top three are things like Man on Fire, Equalizer. I really do love that one. And this is a really bad choice, but it's a special place in my heart. John Q.
I've never seen John Q.
John Q. Denzel gets righteous in that.
Wow.
He is a dad whose child needs a surgery and he's they don't have money. I think he loses his job. And so they don't have insurance. You know, it is a parable about modern America, except it's probably like 12 years old already. And he takes over a hospital. He takes it hostage. He's got Eddie Griffin, one of the hostages, doing, you know, smart mouth Eddie Griffin things in the lobby.
Former Seton Hall star. Yeah.
Rest in peace to that Eddie Griffin, the comedian.
We saw what you were doing in that SUV in the parking lot, right? We saw you by the hot dog stand, Eddie. R.I.P. Rafe, despite my ill-advised blaxploitation Taken claim earlier, I love me some Denzel. You know, it's an underrated role, Book of Eli. You see that? That was damn good. But
Ricochet, way back.
I love me some Ricochet. The best Denzel role, though, straight up, Glory. Dude, he was awesome. Won an Academy Award, bro. Best Supporting Actor. He was awesome in that.
You're too serious. I mean, what are you next? You're going to say what? Philadelphia? You want all these real acting roles?
Lord, Lord, Lord. Mm-hmm. All right, off the rails already. Rafe, we do have a box show. Oh, back to you, the best boxing writer ever. So I really enjoyed your Lionel Thompson piece. You got a lot of other ridiculousness going on there right now to fill this
hole.
That
one was one of the most ridiculous. I think as since we are all members of the one crew that encompasses all crews, the crew of the Farheads, hashtag.
Yes.
I do want to shout out the great Steve Farhood of Showtime, your network, Brian.
Yes.
And that's how I got put onto this story about Lionel Thompson being not just obsessed, but almost pathologically obsessed with the movie The Equalizer. He claims to have watched it every day of his life since he got the DVD. And before then, he was watching it every week in the theater.
I don't want to spoil the whole story, but the best thing ever was that he attributed the loss of his girlfriend to his addiction to that movie. And he was like, good riddance, basically. And two, your ability to weave the plot line of that movie into his sort of daily moral code and how he looks at himself in the twisted, broken boxing game it was brilliant, Rafe, all right? So shout out to you.
I mean, think about it. If you watched the same movie every day for 5 years, more than 5 years probably, it would just start to dominate your entire worldview because it's the only thing you have time to consume. So all of a sudden, whatever's going on looks like The Equalizer to you. Anyway, it's a mind-blowing, very fun story. The other little trivia I love there, his nickname is Lonnie B., and I said, why do they call you Lonnie? He's like, well, it's kind of stupid. I have three brothers and we're all named Lionel Thompson.
That's so George Foreman, Gary Russell-ish right there. Yeah, wow. But I love he got that win against Uzkatagi. He had his, look at me now moment.
But look at him now. Look at him now.
All he breeds is champions. You know what I'm saying? Like him now.
You like me now. You like me now.
That's what I'm talking about, Chris Eubank.
Also, look, I think he's a very fun character. To anyone out there who doesn't already religiously watch the Mayweather Boxing Channel YouTube videos, you need to start watching, and you will see that Lionel Thompson, Lonnie B, is pretty much the MVP whenever he shows up. He is a scene stealer. He is the man who brought us that crazy Canelo Danny Jacobs prediction where halfway through he changes up his mind and he's like, well, yeah, but then again, if Danny's cancer comes back in the middle of the fight, there's no way he can win. And Jeff Mayweather's like, what are you talking about?
Rafe, was that Canelo Jacobs prediction crazier than this one?
I'd stop Canelo. I'd knock Canelo out.
No round.
It don't matter what round. Put him in there and I'd knock him out.
It should have been Danny's night. It really,
I guess he didn't mean rounds 1 through 12.
I mean, it should have been Danny's night, right?
This is all about Danny. He's had a big, busy year. He wants to go out on a bang.
I'm sure he did a few times, indeed. All right, pump it up. Get fired up. I'm jacked up. I'm ready. I'm excited. I got new sounds to toy with that you filled me with.
Just chill out and give me time to speak, because there's not one person in this room that is more jacked than me.
That is true. Thank you, Danny Green. All right, we're going to have a show, Rafe. We're going to have a show for the people here eventually. I think I had something else to bring up. I don't know. Maybe we should have done a rundown.
Oscar, you're talking to Oscar. I've seen some pictures. He's starting to look a little bit. Him and Ben Affleck are kind of aging into the same person to me.
Oh.
Yeah. Same hair. Great hair. Both of them got great hair.
Of Geely fame? Ben Affleck?
Of course, yeah. Look, by the way, that'd be interesting. Who do you think has a better resume?
Ooh. Ooh. Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, why not?
I mean, Oscar was married to former centerfold Shayna Mokler and has multiple children with that. That ain't bad.
Wasn't Affleck married to J-Lo for
okay,
a minute, too?
Okay, that's a strong point on his resume.
And
have
then
you ever
married to the Jennifer Garner girl?
Okay, that's another good one. Have you ever peeped Millie Caretta or what?
You know what he was doing to the girls in his car in Mallrats, right?
Oh, God. All right. Yeah.
By the way,
but I'll shake the shit out of one.
Yeah, probably.
He wasn't doing that to them.
No.
It was just something uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I watched Chasing Amy last week.
Great flick.
Everyone don't ever watch that again.
I haven't seen it since 97, but I loved it back then.
Yo, when it reaches the end and he tries to pull that move, it is not as clever as it seemed back in 97.
Well, we all had points in our life where we thought that move was possible, right?
Really? Who did you try and pull that? Who did you want to pull that move with?
I can't.
Mr. and Mrs. Raskin?
This is a family show. Thank you. Shout out to Eric Raskin. Shout out to all the Raskins. Fred Raskin really entertaining my family with his editing work. So shout out to that.
I said Mr. and Mrs. Raskin. I meant Fred and his missus.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. All right.
Did
want to give my well wishes to everybody. You know, fighting this battle, fighting the corona battle. You know, eat at Bob Evans if you have to, right? We're loosening things up. I think we're close to being allowed to eat at Bob Evans, Rafe, right?
I'm sure in some states you can eat at Bob Evans. Does Bob Evans exist in every state many states outside of West Virginia?
I don't know, but some states at this point you don't have many options. So hopefully your pantry is stocked.
I want a Coney dog in Western Pennsylvania.
That's what I'm talking about. But if you have sanctions in your area, please stop moving.
Stop moving. If you do not have the type of bread you like in your house, eat crackers.
Yes.
If you do not have bread, eat cereal.
Yes.
Eat oats. Sardines. You're supposed to have a 2-week supply for hurricane. And at the beginning of this, I said, prepare your disaster kit as if you would for a hurricane.
Oh, who did that? The Weber Hatcher? What? Hey, Rafe, if you ain't got sardines in 2 weeks of oats, a blood clot to you, okay?
Yeah, what the blood clot, right?
Hey, what about that dude that shouted us out? You know that guy, Teofimo?
Stevenson. Teofimo Rigondeaux on
apparently
Twitter.
Apparently, our brethren is Jamaican.
Yes, and he watched clearly.
And he rewatched
Mark for Death, and he schooled us really, really well on. And it was it was great. I mean, he let us know what parts were fairly authentic, what stuff was ridiculous. And actually, he came down, I thought, more on the side of Mark for Death not being as much of a disaster in terms of its cultural representation as you would think. I guess the cartoonish element of it made me think that it was probably just a complete, cluster F. But it seems like they took some of the real basics about posses in that era,
yes,
and then embellished it in some ridiculous ways.
His Twitter handle these days is @js_writing. So shout out to Teofimo Rigondeaux. I just followed
long time, big good follow on boxing Twitter.
Philly style, long style. I haven't followed him until now. I'm sorry about that. I apologize for that.
Shoot. You got the score wrong.
Yeah,
man.
I did get this score wrong here. But I'm looking at his feed right now, and if I can't my internet during this, Rafe, it's impossible. So I can't pull those tweets out. But the guy knows. Okay, he knows Jamaican. He knows Padois. He knows Jamaican culture. He knows all that stuff. Okay. I'm sure when he gets down,
that like it's a Thai dish, like you mean like patois?
Yeah, patois. I like it thick. I like it heavy.
It was that thick. It was that intense. It was that heavy.
Oh God, Teddy? What are you talking about right there, Rafe? I did not sign up for that. Okay, hey, after the break, Rafe, we're gonna come back with an actual show. Okay, so we'll do that.
Can you play that for Oscar?
Little quick pause for the cause. Okay, stick that M in your craw hole.
Hey, thank you for that extra M, though.
Thank you. We'll be back. Enjoy. Yeah. All right. Take it.
Should you ever set foot outside of the Moteur, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
back, your boy BC. It's Rafe Boogs in the house. Oscar De La Hoya still to come. Wow. Talk about that.
Not till I'm done.
Not well, yeah, yeah. Rafe don't mess around with that.
It might sound terrible.
I think you should finish, Rafe.
Yeah,
indeed.
That's what I was gonna say.
All right.
Let Oscar in.
Let's hit up a couple Boxeo headlines. Rafe, I can't go another second without getting your No, we don't have sexy Mexi Sergio Zepeda this week. Where are you, EK, Evan Korn? Where you at? But the other one, sexy Sergio Martinez, continued his comeback talk and did an interview with Kern Bhatia on the Inside the Experts Experts podcast. But he had Jerry Olaya.
You gotta get inside the Experts.
Yeah, you gotta get inside on them. Reach around in there. He had Jerry Olaya on there, our guy. Remember that time in Vegas? Remember that time?
That was a great night. Jerry Olaya probably remembers that night too. He's like, who are those two crazy, tall, not quite, but getting fat guys who were just yelling the whole time and trying to avoid eating the biggest, most disgusting plate of nachos ever served in Las Vegas?
Yes, that did happen. It did.
It did exist.
Yes,
did.
Rasky was there too. So he had what I liked about this interview was we finally got to actually hear Sergio and see his facial reactions and get the real-time translation. Rafe, he really is coming back at 41, but there were some real interesting points in there. I'll read them real fast. He says he has more power now than ever before. He said in his prime, he didn't know how to punch for power, and he was just relying on athleticism, but now he claims he can deliver a knockout punch. And, Rafe, shout out to Homer, he said that loss to Cotto was not because of the knee and leg. He said, yes, the leg was compromised, but he felt he should have been able to beat him anyway. It's just that Cotto was too good. Now, he didn't mention the equilibrium at all, but I think that was the intention of his speech right there. But, Rafe, the biggest takeaway was he wants Chavez Jr. They want to do a rematch. And he got into some sort of weird phrasing saying we would be business partners in that I would be trying to help him if Julio could commit to a six-month training camp without drinking or drugs. Sergio feels like this will be a turning point in Julio's life. So essentially he's saying we would use each other to make this fight because we have history, but he would be helping me and I would be helping him by cleaning him up for the rest of his life. That was the part where maybe he's just the nicest guy ever, but where the hell is Sergio going with this?
I don't know. I mean, he did famously take the only sort of smiling, happy photo in human history and existence with Antonio Margarito when they looked like the great couple together with the dads and the purses and the deep V cut t-shirts. I mean, it was a glorious photo. So he does have a way with people. He makes people happy. He's sexy. But on top of that, he's also a little bit crazy right now. What is this? By the way, I believe that Chavez Jr., he's talked about a little bit, has had his ups and downs with substance abuse, obviously tested positive once or twice for weed and coke.
4 years just for weed?
Right.
Damn.
I mean, got ridiculous penalties for some of that stuff, but whatever. But he did you think that he has never made it through a six-week camp without drinking or doing drugs? Because I thought that he might have been able to do that.
Well, considering HBO cameras were inside his house with 24/7 for the biggest fight of his life against Martinez, and every day he's sleeping until 1 p.m. in the pink undies eating the cereal as his dad's trying to talk him into motivation, I would say no, Rafe. I would say he has not. Remember that time?
How come the HBO cameras never ever saw any of like Floyd's IVs or Manny's
or
Ariza was putting in them shakes?
I hear you. But remember ahead of the Fanfari fight when he went to that really weird and washed hotel resort in Reno and his training camp was done in the lobby of the casino every single day with Joe Goosen?
Yeah, that's we know that he only trains in non-traditional locations. He does not do boxing gyms. He only does foyers, lobbies, living rooms, bathrooms. Like,
right,
he does.
You know, He made the mistake of
training Rafe bathrooms.
He not only made the mistake of hooking with a hooker against Fonfara, but after the Canelo fight, he hooked with a few hookers and got robbed. You know,
one of the best boxing towns in the United States of America.
What, Chicago?
Is Chicago?
Oh, Chicago.
I was thinking Campbell, California.
Right. Think Alphonse Fonfara.
There it is.
The Chicago Polish gangster.
Yes. He, you know Alphonse, right? He used to roll back in the day with
boxing folklore. Has it that
Carmine Bastillo and Alphonse Charles over there? Yeah. Okay. Hey, speaking of Dwyer, Rafe, yes. you still there?
Yeah.
He likes an establishment at night, right? He likes to mix it up. Did you hear this?
Right, the young guys who keep coming up to me at a bar I go to.
When he says that, and I can imagine the young guys just come. Many guys, right? Many.
What bar?
You got to look at the whole man. Was he talking about Hooters?
I don't know.
I think we got to get to the bottom of this. I know I keep saying that, and then I don't do anything about it. But I tried to give him time to finish the move. Rafe, he looks a little puffier in the face. Now look, we all are right now. I got the liquid crack like you do. I mean, I got a couple of chins right now. But Dwyer looks like he put on a little bit.
I'm not really stalking his weight like that. Really, he doesn't look that much bigger to me though.
All right, but there were some great places to watch a Hooters a Canelo fight. I was wondering if he was referencing Hooters. That's all. I walked myself into a corner. Anyway, Sergio Martinez coming back at 45. Rafe, you heard him. You heard him talk about that they almost had to amputate his leg after the Cotto fight after a botched surgery.
But it was responding, huh?
Champion, please. Rafe, what are your thoughts, legitimately?
Did they have to amputate his equilibrium?
Because I did talk to Samson Lukowicz. I told you that. He's like, I want nothing to do with the Sergio comeback. I am not involved at all.
You want to talk to Samson?
And Sergio did say in that interview to Curran that, many people at each turn he's had to really talk into to get them to believe in him on this comeback.
Yeah, because it sounds nuts. And he keeps calling different people out. He by this point, I can remember three, and I think there was one more before then even. But he's called out Maidana at one point in time, saying like, hey, champion, let's make a fight together. It'd be fun. He called out he was going to fight Carmen Lejeraga, the great Spanish, Basque, whatever, fighter out there in Bilbao who gets knocked out every time he fights David Evanesian. And now he's going to fight Chavez Jr. again. I don't know. If one of these happens, I love Sergio so much. As much as it shouldn't happen and it's clearly a bad idea, I would pop. I would love to see him back in the – I want to see it. I don't care. It's going to make me sad, but I love him.
Too. Champion, I want to see it. Rafe, you don't have – I was going to ask you this. Like, I've had many Campeon moments. My office is littered. Like, oh, look, there's Eric Morales and you and me. And there's – who's that other guy we met that time?
Rocky Juarez?
Right there, look, there's Rod the Rocky Juarez picture.
Did we ever meet Darren Barker? I can't remember.
No, he blew us off twice. Anderson, who
totally no-sold you.
Yeah, twice in the same night. But, I campioned
telling you know Ulrich, though.
Casamayor, I campioned. Rafe, have you ever campioned someone? I could see you in Filipino basketball circles dropping a campion on like, Jaworski or someone.
Ooh. The big J is almost too intimidating to Campeón because he is his nickname is the living legend. That's one I would be more hesitant to run up on. In Vegas, for one of the Pacquiao Bradley events, I ran into I kind of campeoned. I mean, they knew me a little bit. A couple of them knew me, and then a couple of them didn't. But recent, very, very great PBA players like Kenneth Duremdes, Danny Ildefonso, somebody else. I think Marlu Aquino might have been there. So I ran up on them. I was like, yo-ho!
Were you liquored
I think
up at the
Manny
time?
Marquez 3, I saw Japeth Aguilar, but he was, I'm older than him, so it's not really like a campeón thing.
Age doesn't really matter in campioning. It's just about love and respect. That's about Huevos.
What R. Kelly said, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's about Huevos. That's what Ray Pop said. It's about really Rafe just you know shouting people out. I love me some Oscar. I'm going to campion Oscar on today's podcast. All right, it is what it is. Okay, it's better when you got a few pops in you and you're at the point where you're at the whiskey down at the MGM and Oscar's dad is there and you're ready to go up to him and say, "If only you could have just hugged the kid once, we wouldn't have had the damn Nets, right? Not New Jersey, right? Right?" anyway, enough of this. Any other interesting nuggets from that Sergio interview? Did you pull anything else from that?
No.
All right, it was great talking to you, Rafe. Let's go on. In other news this week, Errol Spence Jr. was a guest on All the Smoke, my brethren at Showtime. By the way, are you into that show? Because I love the crap out of it.
I know people love the show. I'm not up on it. I got a lot going on my podcast rotation. It's very hard to get in there right now. It's hard to effing get in on that.
You better get inside on Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And Errol Spence said on there when asked about Floyd Mayweather, prime versus prime, he's like,
I did see that comment.
He's basically like, I feel like I could defeat Floyd prime versus prime. So I went through a couple emotions when I heard that. First off, I was like, whoa, dude, whoa. But then I'm like, wait, what do I want him to say? And then I actually started to think about it, and I'm like, dude, he actually might be the perfect encapsulation of the kind of kryptonite that would get to prime Floyd. I might actually back Errol Spence in this.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's a good argument for it that has a lot to do with how, like, he's one of a very small handful of welterweights, like, you know, of recent vintage, who could match, I hate to say this, but could match Floyd's length in terms of his reach. You know, Floyd had deceptively long arms and used them extremely well, right? And I think if you look it up, Spence might be one of the handful of guys who actually has a little longer reach than Floyd did. And of course, he's naturally bigger.
And he's got speed, legitimate power. He's a huge,
very active.
Now, look, you could say, well, dude, did you see the Porter fight? And I did. And Porter gave an A performance and it was a great fight. But I think, obviously, styles make fights, but they do. I've always said that prime welterweight De La Hoya is a handful for prime welterweight Mayweather. Look, Washed Mosley had some moments against Floyd. You always wondered what prime Mosley would have done, although I think Floyd wouldn't have been able to pick him apart because, you know, Shane didn't have a jab and he had short arms. And I think that would have been one he could win. But obviously, like prime Tommy Hearns,
Everyone believes
Sugar Ray Leonard, I'm taking him too.
I have heard the Tommy Hearns is the fighter who almost every time I hear it brought up, people are like, oh yeah, no, he's definitely beating Floyd. And it has to do with that length, that size and geez, that power. I mean,
and then Ray Leonard had the dog.
Tommy
had
Hearns,
the speed.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a few guys, you know, I mean, Bud Crawford would be another guy. You're like, I'd have to see it. I'd have to see that fight against Floyd. I'd have to see what it looked like. But shout out to Floyd. We're always trying to find people that could beat him. Nobody could during his career. Although I got an idea of one guy that might be able to.
There is a fighter who could beat Floyd Mayweather. It's younger Floyd Mayweather.
I mean, it's a fair point. I mean, when you're looking at what Floyd brings to the table, like how quickly does that left hook come to mind, Rafe?
Then you have Mayweather. Here, trigger left hook.
Right?
Right there, I say Caleb Plant level left hook.
That's what I'm saying, Rafe. Like, when you see Floyd throw that left hook.
That's the GOAT left hook right there.
You're like, that's Caleb Plant all the way, right?
Yeah, shoot. I'm the guy who's going to cough up a 168-pound belt to Lonnie B, Lionel Thompson.
Stop that. You have any thoughts on Caleb Plant's choice in women?
I'm very happy that he seems to be in love with his wife, Jordan Plant, and they make a gorgeous couple together. They're both very attractive people.
He's got a great back foot game, Rafe.
The master of the back foot.
All right, that's a long conversation. Okay, thank you.
He's great back foot game. I would like to see it against some live bodies, but I think we'll get there. He seems like he does want those fights, and he'll get them soon.
In other news, Rafe, Chris Eubank Jr., the son of the confectionery giant.
A absolutely stupendous confectionery.
Thank you. he has called upon a new man to guide him in the corner. Y'all must have forgot, Rafe. It's Roy Jones Jr. Do you know how hard you have to hit a man to break his eye socket? What do you think about this relationship?
Very hard. Look, I like it from an entertainment standpoint because just the idea, my first thought is always going to be Roy in the locker room with Jean Pascal playing his own music, playing Y'all Must Have Forgot, and he's got Jean Pascal singing his song before Jean Pascal has to fight. Was that the second Kovalev fight?
Yes, it was.
Before Jean Pascal was going to get sent. Roy is, and also the less famous moment recently when Roy was training King Devin the Great Alexander, King Ryan,
yeah,
Garcia
King Ryan,
Alexander. Congressman Devin Alexander.
Shout out to Legend Sports Bar and Grill, okay?
Yeah, you know what? I wonder if he's hanging out at the sports bar with Dwyer, if you know what I mean. Somebody getting stretched.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? The young guys who keep coming up to me at a bar I go to. Right.
Man, you are destroyed. You are ruined.
Wow. Okay.
When Roy was training Devin Alexander for, I think, the Red Cash fight that didn't go so well. And PBC
did a PBC face to face for that fight, Rafe. Shout out to Fox for paying off my travel soccer debt. Keep going.
There you go. What was that series Fox had called? Inside, was it like the you know, some outsourced fake 24/7
fight
show?
Fight Camp.
Fight Camp. Yes, they did the Fight Camp, and Roy has Devin down there in Pensacola, and he's like, first of all, Roy's home gym, he has a throne in it that he sits in and watches from. And then there's parts where you see they shoot like Roy's dogs, lots of dogs, just wandering through the ring while Devin is like shadow boxing and doing pad work. And then they cut to Roy explaining, he's like, you know, I let the dogs walk through the gym because I want my fighters to be able to respond to anything that could happen in the ring. You got to be able to, you know, and I'm like, that's the craziest thing I have ever heard, Roy Jones, but I'm here for it. So if Chris Eubank Jr. is getting some of that kind of training, I'm all for it.
Shout out to our boy Manouk Akpoyan. Akopan?
Akopian.
Akopian. Shout out to Glendale. Shout out to Armenians. He broke that story on Box Rec. Boxing Scene. Great. I mean, hold on. Where's that website, Rafe? Where is Viegas? Where is that?
Do they employ any journalists?
I don't know. Hold on. I'm new to this sound.
I hired an important freelance journalist.
I mean, look. Yeah. Wow. Imagine if I could ever find what I'm looking for. Anyway, shout out to Manouk. He did that Unboxing Scene. Great website. Great.
Does this mean it gets even better if Senior gets involved? If we get to get Senior down
there. Very important article.
Very important one I read.
Today. On the internet's best websites, boxingscene.com.
Yeah, shout out to Rick Reno. Right,
that's my number one.
Yep. And I get the relationship idea because Chris Eubank Jr. is not a guy who relies on technique or strategy. He's a freestyle athlete. No, he's not. I mean, I respect athletes. He's not on the athletic level of a RJJ, but I get that if anybody can understand how to take that unbridled fury and passion and athleticism and send me to hell during a Showtime fighter meeting like he did last time, then it's probably Chris moving with Roy. So shout out to that. Speaking, though, of Boxing Scene, how about that latest hire? Their freelance budget going out to a decorated, longtime man of the sport. A man one day will not only be in Contestota, but
That's got to be a guarantee, I think.
May
right?
even have
there's
his.
No way he can't.
His fleece jacket of choice in Condestable.
Hey guys!
Yeah, guys!
Really proud of my brother being inducted here in Canastata.
One of your boxing brothers, Dan Rayfield, catching on with boxing scene. You see that?
DTM, yeah. I saw he had a Ryan Garcia story there. I haven't been following.
Well, he had
so
a
closely.
He also is doing a daily video podcast.
He's got some kind of show on the Impact Network.
With Warlock.
That is awesome.
He's doing a daily video thing, and the press release just came out recently. Veteran boxing reporter Dan Rayfield, one of the best in his field, will be part of a newly created show on the Impact Network that will look into the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on athletes, promoters, executives, and entertainers across the world. Interesting. Rafe, do you have the Impact Network? Do I have the Impact?
I don't even know where to find it. Is that, that's not the Wealth Channel, is it?
I don't know. It's
not AWE.
Oh, it's the chairman is Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. Isn't that the channel that Heyman put that Austin Trout fight on? That comeback fight?
I got the Bishop Don Magic Wand channel.
Is that no? Is it channel 35 with your girl? What's her name?
Robin Bird.
Yeah.
What's up?
Wow, I looked that up and I'm like, I can't be looking this up on my work laptop.
Oh, Robin Bird is there's some pretty nasty dancers in her era.
Do you know how I wake up every morning? I do the Robin Bird call. Yeah, real early, right?
I feel like the Robin Bird.
That's what it sounds like, Rafe, at the end of it when I do the Robin Bird call, Rafe.
We'll make him shoot his load. Let him shoot his load. So he shot his load.
Oh, yeah.
See, the worst part about watching Robin Bird back in the day was that it was a unisex stripper showcase. So if you didn't know what you were going to be flipping the channel onto, and you could sometimes stumble onto some very talented, very naked male dancers doing some helicopter tricks. I mean, stuff you don't want to be seeing when you are in the mood to be looking at something else.
Oh, boy, Rafe.
Kids don't understand these days what we went through.
I think Stevenson is someone you need to look at. Hard.
Yes, so you were looking at those guys, Rafe. You know what I'm saying?
I want guys.
I have beautiful guys.
Wow. Okay, Rafe. So yeah, the show is going to be on, it's going to be about the COVID. Post-COVID, do you think the show keeps going?
Well, maybe he's making a smart play in that and thinking that there is no post COVID.
Anyway, I hope you watch it during COVID. I hope your father watches it. We're good friends. I love your daddy. I hope your family watches it.
We need you to do this, if not for yourself, then for your abuela. Do it for your granddaddy. Do it for your big mama. Do it for your pop.
All right. Thank you. Thank
oh,
you.
That man. Oh.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Good for Dan. I'm happy for him. I'm happy to see him hustling. And, you know, don't let them hold you down, man. You know, they try and get you out the paint or whatever. You know, get him back. Get
him
back.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a war out there. So, Dan, my advice
to you. It's a war going on outside. No boxing scribe is safe, son.
Prepare your fleece for the battle that is to come, Rafe, okay? Because there's a lot of people that'll try to get in your way in this business.
There's going to be a lot of cock-blocking tactics coming on here. Yeah. Cock-blocking. There's going to be tactical cock-blocking. It's going to be the name of this game.
That is the name of this game.
Remember when we played that game with the great Kieran Mulvaney?
Which game?
Oh, we were that game. We were cock blocking him in that restaurant.
Oh yes, yes.
Talking to the waitress.
The waitress Pen. She was not Pinoy. She was Thai. You think they tied one on, Rafe?
Look, none of my business.
Shout out to Kiernan Mulvaney. Love that guy.
He may have shot his watch.
It's possible. It is possible that indeed. Where was I going with this, Rafe? I don't think he had any girl trouble that night, though.
And my girl knows this video is going to get me in trouble.
So will this entire podcast. Thank you, Dwyer. Indeed. Hey, when Dwyer says my girl, is he married or is he talking about like a side piece?
Right. More reckless scandalous sensationalism about Dwyer's private life. Why are you dragging me down this road?
I beat Dwyer.
I beat Polly. I left with his belt and his girl.
Right, don't brag about taking Dwyer's side piece. All right. You don't get laid. Thank you. Hey, Paulie doing good. Paulie staying healthy. Paulie Malignaggi.
I've not been coronavirus. I'm good.
I'm okay. Good to know. Where is he in the States? Sometimes he's in Italy. I hope he's not in Italy. I guess there's no good place to be.
But you have delivered to me the interview of the year from the famed Mayweather Boxing Channel. Jeff Mayweather asking guys how they are navigating the corona. He asked this South American fella who stole the show.
What are you doing to prepare for the coronavirus?
I don't know. It's very, very confusing. This is danger, no? The words.
Danger. It's very confusing. It's nice.
It's danger in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some poetry in there. Did you also happen to clip what my guy Rolly is doing during the coronavirus?
No. Too many F words. We're already close to getting shut down.
He's effing raw every night.
Yes, he is. You know what he's into, Rafe? You know what he's into? A soundboard where he can find things okay. Can't find it, Rafe. You know what he's actually into? Stay with me here. No, this is the end of the show.
You're facing a real one.
He's in the real one.
He was training with Floyd. Did you see that video?
I didn't know that, but he was talking about giving it raw dog. So yeah.
Right. This ain't Birdo. It's the raw dog.
This ain't Birdo. I think that's it for news this week, Ray. Oh, what
great news!
The WBC reinstated Devin Haney as the full lightweight champ. They had taken that belt that they gave him when they franchised Loma. Then they took the belt away from him when he hurt his shoulder. And now Haney's the full champ again. Like boxing, boxing to me is like a hood sport, Rafe.
No, boxing is full of S, man. I used to love this sport. Yes, is what I'm saying. Yeah, the WBC, what they have done with weight category 135 is just embarrassing. I mean, it's a quote. The ladies' man, Leon Phelps, that's just disgusting.
Thank you.
And I don't know. Who cares, really? Because Devin Haney didn't really win an important fight to get that belt. They just gave it to him because they wanted to make Loma the franchise. And then they took it away from him for no real reason. I guess because he was injured, but it's not like he was out for a long time. Then none of the other fights ever happened because of the coronavirus. I don't care. I just don't care because Loma and as long the fight that matters first is Teofimo Lopez and Lomachenko, since those are legitimate belt holders in the division and they're expected.
That's a
someday.
Proper fight. That is a proper fight.
Oh, let's see if it's a proper fight.
No.
Yeah, come on, no. Let's see it. Oh, my goodness, no.
No, they might hurt each other.
No. I've been interested.
Okay, thank you. Random English folks. Thank
and
you.
I think Devin Haney is already good enough to be in a proper fight with those blokes as well, even if he hasn't had the big fight in his career yet to prove it. I believe in his talent on that level, but the shuffling the belts back and forth, I don't know. It's nonsense. Poppycock.
It is poppycock. Rafe. The Skinheads are going to be back May 9th. We've talked about that. It is official, UFC 249 in an arena in Jacksonville, the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. These ambitious blokes, Rafe, are going to put on three cards in the same building over eight crazy nights. So, Rafe.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you very much. Will that lead directly to boxing following if they can pull it off with no deaths, no corona? And can do this the right way. And I do give him credit for, you know, joining with the Florida State Commission finally, even though Florida is far from a bastion of hope when it comes to athletics or life in general. But shout out to Florida. Are you going to watch A and B? Is this going to open the floodgates for the box? Tell me.
I'm not going to watch. I don't care. But I don't watch. I don't got that DAZN. I don't got that skinhead stuff, but I do think it could open the door for boxing because if they can get away with it, why wouldn't they try? I don't know if I think it's a good idea. I think eventually you keep rolling the dice down there, and you'd roll the dice anywhere in the country right now. Somebody's going to get the Rona.
Eight crazy nights, three cards in 8 nights. I can't wait till we get some microwave box. Give it to me every night.
Yeah, it probably will be some. That's how WWE tapes stuff, even in peacetime, right? They do stuff. They just bank a bunch of shows there.
No. Well, they do the NXT, their minor league.
That's
show,
the NXT, NXT down there.
That started going live before the Rona, but now look, it's, you know.
Instead of one day of presents, we get eight.
You won't watch, that's fine, but I think Box will follow them. So I am cheering for them to succeed in many ways. Thank you, Dana White. Thank you to all of that. That's it for news for the week, Rafe. I do have a big-time guest, and he's going to be on now, Rafe. It is the CEO, the founder of Golden Boy Promotions, the Hall of Famer, my campeón. It's Oscar De La Hoya coming up right now. Enjoy. The Golden Boy is back, Oscar De La Hoya. It's crazy times these days, Oscar. How the heck are you holding up during this quarantine?
Just like everybody else, you know, staying at home, staying safe, itching to get back to the combat world and make these fights for the public, for the world. But, you know, I mean, obviously safety's first, but, just like everybody else, we're just waiting to see what the mayor says, what the governor says, what the president says, and hopefully they give us a green light very soon.
Yeah, as we stand right now, Florida, the only state sort of seemingly allowing pro sports to come back. We're going to see, of course, the UFC dip their toe in on May 9th. WWE has been going. Do you think, you know, states will follow soon if this goes on without a hitch when UFC 249 hits?
I think so. It was a breath of fresh air when the PGA of America announced that they're mid-June they're gonna, you know, resume play, obviously without the crowds. But you know, that was a great sign, and you know, so we're hoping that boxing resume our schedule, after that in June or July. You know, we've been talking to, various, commissions all over the country, California, Texas, Florida, and they're just waiting for the green light from the government. As you know, people are itching to watch live sports, live content on TV. So we've been waiting very patiently, but as I've said before, safety's first.
Absolutely. And look, you know, for any business right now, essentially being forced to shut down or limit operation for 50-60 days, maybe even more, it's going to be tough. How do you feel like the industry in general can react and bounce back to this financial hit? I mean, from promoters down to fighters, if you're not fighting, you're not getting paid. So how dire are the times right now for the business as a whole, do you think?
I mean, especially boxing, where you know, you rely on the international high roller, let's say from Asia or from the UK, from all over the world, to go to Vegas and spend their money and buy a $2,500 ringside ticket. I don't know how the market is going to react. I don't know how the market is going to be after this pandemic. I mean, we've never experienced it. We've never lived it. It's very new to us. We don't know how to react to it, but, we have to adjust. I mean, maybe it's an omen. I don't know. Maybe we have to reduce our prices, for every event we do, and therefore it will create more excitement, more fans to attend our boxing shows. I mean, who knows? Boxing has always been a sport where if you have two superstars, you can charge $5,000, $10,000 for ringside tickets. Maybe those days are over. Who knows?
Yeah, and the same with pay-per-view, and and you're currently not in the pay-per-view business with DAZN, but you've been the biggest pay-per-view star in the sport. And it's interesting what this weird time, and it's unprecedented for so many ways, could do to change everything in our lives. Could we see what other changes do you think we could see to this sport that could hatch out of this time when we're all sort of sitting around thinking, hoping everything comes back?
Well, I think promoters in boxing and in the MMA world as well, in all combat sports, I believe that it's gonna make us think twice to make the best fights possible for the fans. I mean, imagine putting the best against the best. That's exactly what people are wanting, and so I think that this pandemic what we're living is actually a blessing in disguise, because now promoters have to put on the best shows possible. They have to put on the best against the best. They have to put on great fights. So I mean, I believe that we're gonna survive this. We're gonna be okay, as long as we make the best fights possible for the fans.
Absolutely, and that was certainly your motto during your entire career. But the fighters today, Oscar, in talking to a bunch of them in recent weeks, you know, Teofimo Lopez, Josh Taylor, you hear a lot of them saying, look, like, I'll fight in an empty arena if I have to, but I certainly don't want to, because I thrive off of the connection with the fans. And I've even seen Terrence Crawford go as far as saying, you want me to fight in an empty arena, you better pay me more. What do you think that future could be like for the rest of 2020 when fights do come back, with the whole idea of fighting in an empty space? You're not getting the gate as a promoter, and you're not getting that energy.
Right. I see it as a sparring session, you know. I mean, in training, in our camps, we fight, we train, we spar with no fans, with no crowds, and we train hard, and we try to do the best we can. You know, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be a little awkward, but fighters are machines. Whether you're in the MMA world or the boxing ring, or, you know, fighters are machines, and they're focused and they're determined, and there's a tunnel vision that exists in between their ears, 6 inches between their ears. So I believe that it doesn't matter whether you have a crowd or not. It's the fighters are going to be so focused, but it's never been done before, and I don't know how. Every individual is going to react differently, so I don't know how it's going to play out.
Obviously, you're not a pandemic scientist or anything like that, but
no.
Optimism is key, but so is realism. When could you see normalcy again? 20,000 seat arenas packed, boxing pay per views, Vegas streets filled. Are we thinking 1 year? Are we thinking more than that? How do you sort of gauge that?
I think sooner than later. I believe that that people are itching to get back to sports, to experience that live event. I strongly believe that there's nothing like a sports event like UFC or like boxing at the highest level. There's nothing like it, and I believe that people are missing that, you know, and so I strongly believe that it's a matter of time. I think the sooner than later we're gonna see people crowding those filling up those arenas and getting back to the norm.
Let's talk about you, the number one fighter with Golden Boy Promotions, Canelo Alvarez, the biggest star in the sport, champion in so many different divisions. We thought Billy Joe Saunders for May, but everyone's plans have been thrown upside down. Then that story broke that Triple G Part 3 could happen this fall. Where do we sort of stand on Canelo's timeline if things get back to normal this summer?
Well, look, I mean, we have to make a statement. And Triple G Canelo has to happen. You know, we have to show the world that we can make the big fights happen, that we're here obviously to stay. I mean, boxing will always be boxing. It will always survive. Pandemic or not, boxing has been around for years, for ages. As long as we make the best fights, as long as we make the biggest fights, and Canelo Triple G doesn't get bigger than that.
Indeed. Would the Saunders fight potentially could get skipped by to make the Triple G happen if you had to?
You know, it's a fight that people are not really wanting. It's a fight that never got signed. But it all depends on Canelo. It depends on what he wants. And Canelo always fights the best. And I have no doubt in my mind that he wants to go after Triple G.
There were some headlines, and we went up and down. We talked to you. Everybody's talked to you. You and Canelo were on a rough patch for a while. How are you guys getting along now as we're sort of pressing pause on the business?
Well, look, it's like a family. You know, family fight. They have their differences, but at the end of the day, it's family. So me and Canelo, we're on great terms. Everything is good. You know, I'm a fighter, a promoter that looks out for the best interests of our stable. And, you know, Canelo's the biggest draw, the biggest fighter, the biggest star in boxing. And you know, we're good. We're great, actually. And so he knows that we've done a great job for him. We know that he's the biggest star and that he draws and that he brings in the crowds. So, you know, it's a business. It's a business, and we both are smart enough to realize that.
Do you see him jumping weight classes, whatever the biggest fight he could make in the future? Or could you see him sort of settling in, let's say, at 168 pounds and campaigning there for a long time?
I can see him fighting at 160, 175, 168. The beauty about Canelo is that he's such a tough guy. He's built like a machine. He can take on anybody at 175, 168, 160. So I can see him fighting the very best in those various weight classes.
All right. Can't wait to see that. Canelo always comes through with the big names. We respect that. A guy you've had many public ups and downs with is Dana White, who we referenced earlier. You're going to see UFC 249 coming up. I'm sure everybody in pro sports will be watching closely to see if it can go on without a hitch. What was your reaction, though, being a fellow promoter, to his boldness over the past month, which has been fighting against state commissions and even going to the degree of threatening to secure his own island, which he says could be operational by next month to put fights on?
No, look, I commend and respect Dana. We did have our differences. When I wanted to get involved with the MMA, and I did Chuck Liddell with Tito Ortiz, which was a huge success. I dipped my toes into the water and I experienced it, and it was actually wonderful. I love the MMA. You know, Dana came out and criticized me and ridiculed me and all that stuff. But you know what? Dana, he's doing a phenomenal job in defending his sport, in growing his sport. And, you know, he's doing it big. He's doing it great. And I commend him.
We're all doing different things to get through this quarantine, and we're all being mindful of mental health. I might be drinking a little too many cervezas and having too many snacks. Uncle Bob Arum says he's been getting into the weed to chill out. Do you have any quarantine tips? Any, it could be fitness, could be TV shows. What has Oscar De La Hoya been doing to get by these days?
Drinking a lot of tequila.
I see sometimes the posts of you and your good buddy Mario Lopez, who's a big tequila fan. Where does this friendship come from? Were you a big Saved by the Bell fan back in the day, Oscar?
I'll tell you a funny story. So in my second fight, I fought in San Diego. I'm not sure what the arena was called. But so he's from San Diego, Chula Vista, to be exact. He wants to meet me. So he goes to my hotel room. We meet. This was like, what, 27 years ago. we meet, we hang out, you know, we he's a great guy, we love him, all that stuff. So it was a Friday night, okay? And this was the night before the actual fight on Saturday. I'm feeling a pain in my leg, okay? And I call a doctor, and this is a true funny story. I call a doctor, so this doctor comes to my hotel room, and he tells me, your leg is infected. I have to operate right now, okay? I look at my trainer, and we say, okay, let's do it. So literally, he injects me with the numbing solution, whatever it's called, and he digs a hole in my leg as deep as maybe half an inch.
Whoa.
And as wide as a quarter, okay? So I tell my trainer, I can't fight. Not like this. I can't even walk. I cannot fight. So I call Mario that night. He invites me to Tijuana, okay? We go to Tijuana. True story. We go to Tijuana. We get back Saturday morning at 5 a.m. in the morning, okay? And we're loaded. I mean, we're just we had too many tequilas. I ended up fighting that Saturday. I ended up fighting that Saturday, and that's how we met.
Wow. And did you have any trouble moving around? Was that your second pro fight, you said?
It was my second pro fight. Luckily, I knocked him out in two rounds.
Love that story. I'm sure there was maybe some females involved in Tijuana. Must have been one of those legendary nights, as they say, Oscar. So shout out to the...
Every time I see Mario, I tell him, you almost derailed my career.
Speaking of great nights and legendary nights, we're seeing a lot of boxing anniversaries, a lot of nice stories and interviews being done. Next Tuesday, Cinco de Mayo, is 13 years since the super fight, the big showdown, Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather. Also my wedding night, by the way, Oscar. I had to miss the fight. That was ill-timed. Ill-timed on my end. You lose by split decision, but this is one of the biggest fights in boxing history. Everyone, because of the HBO 24/7, everyone's mom seemingly was into this fight. What are your biggest takeaways when you look back at the success of that event as a whole?
Well, I mean, we took boxing to another level. You know, we stepped it up, obviously, with 24/7. We were actually the creators of that series. You know, Mayweather was great. He was like the villain. And, you know, I mean, in order to create mega fights, you need the hero and the villain. And Mayweather was the perfect character. And, you know, he was great that night. He obviously brought his A game. I was on the downhill of my career, but you know, he put a great performance and he beat me.
You were in that fight halfway through. You could argue you were winning that fight. Credit to Mayweather. He landed the clean counter shots. He seemed to figure out what you were doing. If you could make any tactical adjustment in hindsight, what would you do in that fight?
Well, I mean, that's the beauty of Mayweather, is that he knows how to adjust. And, you know, I mean, there was nothing that I could do to adjust my game plan, because I had, two rotator cuffs, tears, on both shoulders. I was a little over the hill, you know, I mean, I felt great. I was in the fight, but once that seventh, eighth, ninth round kicks in, your body just breaks down. And that's exactly what happened. But Mayweather executed. He did a brilliant game plan and he beat me.
Huge night, monster pay-per-view buys, big success. You guys had a contractual rematch that would have brought huge money again. Floyd ends up retiring and the fight never happens. Are you still pissed off about that to this day?
Bro, I had a rematch, okay, for 1 year. And what does he do? He retires 1 year and one day. I mean... Come on. I mean, you don't do that. You know, give me the chance. Give me a rematch. Give me an opportunity to at least try again, you know. But that's Mayweather. I mean, I give him all the credit because, hey, who knows what would have happened, okay? Only he knows, because if you looked at his face after our fight, let me tell you, you've never seen Mayweather that beat up.
Now, is it true that Floyd Sr. was willing to train you against his son for that rematch?
Yes, yes. That was actually very true. We didn't come to terms with the money, and that's what derailed our plans. But Floyd Sr. was willing to train me to beat his son.
You guys had such a cool relationship as fighter and trainer, and I'm not sure anyone would have guessed that. Why did it work the best? Because you could argue that you were the very best in your career with Floyd Sr. in your corner.
You know why? Because he didn't take no shit from me. Mayweather Sr. would tell me in my face directly, like, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. If you don't want to do it, then I'm out of here. And I respected him. And that's who Floyd Mayweather Sr. was.
I love it. I love it. You never got the rematch with Floyd Jr., but I saw you challenged him to a push-up contest for charity in the past few weeks, claiming you've done 250,000 push-ups. Well, you got to be jacked right now, Oscar.
Oh, hey, let me tell you, I've never been in such great shape in my life. You know, and it was all for charity. I was able to help out a few people. Donating a few dollars to local hospitals. And so I was calling out my colleagues. I was calling out, sports figures, politicians to be in this fight together and knock out this pandemic, because we've never lived anything like this. This is something that is affecting, not only the global economy, but it's affecting lives all over the world. And so I thought that the least I can do is lend a helping hand and donate a few dollars and call out my colleagues.
All right, give us this mythical match Monday here idea to close. Let's say you right now, age 47, let's say I gave you 3 months. You against Conor McGregor, 10-round boxing match, regular rules. What does that fight look like right now?
2 rounds.
Wow. That's 2 rounds left hook, Oscar, with the hand raise?
Oh, come on, brother. 2 rounds.
He's still got it.
Because one thing about me, I went for the kill always. And look, Conor McGregor is, I love him in the octagon. I respect him. I watch him all the time. But the boxing ring is a whole different story. It's a whole different story.
It is indeed. We're hoping that story will continue for all of us close to the game. Oscar, thank you so much for your time. Can't wait to see Golden Boy Promotions back doing what they do great. Fighters getting paid, fans watching. Much health and happiness to you and your family during these tough times.
And shout out to my man, Ferguson.
Tony Ferguson, yes.
Thanks, brother.
Take care. All right, special thanks to Oscar De La Hoya Rafe in the space-time continuum of Back to the Future Part 2. You need plutonium. You need, what was it, 1....
Flux capacitor?
2.1 gigawatts of electricity. We just talked to Oscar, but we haven't talked to him yet. So, your thoughts on the interview? Oh, wait, that
I thought
that,
it. It was the most revealing interview, the most personal and earnest I think I've ever heard Oscar. I think you guys really bonded. You docked.
I hope we did. I hope we touched. Not tips, but I hope we did. I hope we did. Well,
I mean, as long as you can analyze the tip first.
That's That is a fair point. All right. He's not a small guy, you know?
Player, this small guy is coming for your title.
Okay. All right. Indeed. The interview hasn't happened yet, but shout out to Oscar for joining us. Rafe, do you have he's my campeón. For better or worse, I'm an Oscar guy. I mean, round 12 against Corte, come on, right? Come on, Rafe, okay? The finish against Mayorga, come on, right? The 98 punch combination to put away Vargas. Do you have a favorite Oscar moment?
Favorite Oscar moment. It might be Brian. It might be, what a beauty. #body Mr. Bernard Hopkins.
Oh, how dare you.
Yeah, and Oscar's just like kicking the canvas, you know, on his knees, pounding. We've seen Oscar pound.
Do you think he had any business getting up from that body shot?
Clearly not. He clearly did not. But
are you saying he Doc Ritchie'd us? What's the guy's name? Madonna's guy. White. Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you
saying
he Guy Ritchie'd us?
I mean, he's alive, thankfully. but the other thing about that is, the one thing we're never going to be able to really accuse Oscar of doing is not going after huge legacy fights all the time. Fighting, you know, more top guys near their peaks when he could. Just that ambition and being willing to fight whoever, not really giving a damn, being willing to lose and ended up losing some of those big fights because of it. But he was part of all those and he made a lot of great fights in them.
I love Oscar. Do you remember that Campeón night we had with him at that media dinner before?
Yeah, you guys think that I somehow feel bad about walking away to take a leak while Oscar was telling some story for you. I don't care, man. I did enjoy meeting his date. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I was like, look at this.
Are you saying Oscar was a freak? Is that what you're saying? Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. Where is, can I get two, can I order two Rays right now at the same time, Rafe? I'll have what he's having, please. Where is it? I can't find it. Okay, great. Yeah, it was impressive. It was incredible. Thank you.
I felt bad that she had to be at our table. It's just like, it was Wayne's World stuff. It's like, we're not worthy.
A right hook upstairs. Edwards shakes his head.
There's a straight left. Down goes Edwards. And a 30 straight left. And this one is over. Kennedy for knockout of the year.
Dig it again. Oscar was a real man, indeed. Anyway, that was one of the better moments. He told us, and he answered. We were all liquored up. He answered any question we wanted about the career, Rafe. It was great. Okay? It was great. If we ever do State of Combat after hours on Patreon, we can tell some of those stories. Okay? Thank you.
I'm gonna handle our OnlyFans, Brian.
You're going to what?
I'm going to handle our OnlyFans account.
Thank you. Thank you.
You going to play dumb on me? You going to play dumb on me? You don't know what that is?
No, I'm not. All right. Rafe, I hope Box is back soon. I want to watch fights. I want to talk about them. I want to break them down on this show. Were you an Oscar hater, by the way, second half of his career when he was the money man?
A little bit. He was not popular in the Bartholomew household. My dad, you know, I love my daddy, and he wasn't into the pretty boy stuff, and he wasn't into. He felt Oscar was always fake in the interviews, and I think he probably was, right? I mean, because every time Oscar, like, the pretty bad decision in the Trinidad fight, and Oscar's like, oh, it's okay. You know, he always sounded...
Yeah, but then backstage, the 24/7 cameras caught, or whatever, HBO cameras caught him. I thought it gave him a boxing lesson.
Right. He just didn't... He didn't have a swagger that was appreciated in the Bartholomew household, not as a fighter. He had like ass loads of swagger, right? In the way he was a badass.
Are you saying
he gave loads to asses probably too. I don't know. I wasn't
come
there.
Come on. I mean, now I got to edit that out. I mean, I like the swagger and all.
Right. He has a little bit of a swag about him.
Right, right, okay, all right. Be
nothing, nothing, nothing makes you think of just oozing swag like Dwyer talking about it.
I was in your ass.
No. soda to me is like liquid crack. Yeah, thank you, Bernard. All right, yeah, no, you're not wrong. But like you said, Oscar fought them all. I mean, who did he not fight from that era? Maybe Vernon Forrest, but it never really made sense. I mean, during that time, Oscar was moving up to 54 to fight Shane again, and then moving up to 60 to, you know, chase that belt. But I always liked that Oscar was honest. Part of that Campeón moment, he was honest to us. I think you went to the bathroom. You didn't really care about what he was doing the night before the Sturm fight and why he came into that fight fat. And he thinks he believed Felix Sturm beat him.
I mean, that I can see him. Why wouldn't he admit that? Because it was at this point in his career, he didn't have nothing left to prove. You know, who cares?
Now, I talked to
nobody. Even if they gave Sturm that fight, that decision, and that he's that doesn't really, Oscar's legacy was already made.
All right. How old do you think Oscar is right now?
Late 40s.
Who, matchup Monday. What does it look like? Are you ready?
All right.
Oscar today. Okay. A little salt and pepper in the thing, but you know, every other time you see him, he's ripped. He's back into great shape. Right?
You never know exactly which Oscar you're going to get.
He's 47. Him against Conor McGregor, 12 rounds of boxing, 10 rounds of boxing under the unified rules.
Oh, I think Oscar still washes Conor.
Whoa.
He's not a boxer.
True. But do you not give any credit for his, and I'm not some Conor super, you know, fanboy here, but do you not give any credit for Conor's ability to not get just like wiped out by Floyd in the first six rounds? Or are you of the belief like, hey, Floyd purposely just kind of pawed at him and waited around for him to tire and then walked him down?
I am not a truther who believes that, oh, Floyd definitely carried that fight for four rounds. He could have, what was that guy? Tensioned him in 30 seconds or something. That I don't take it to that level. I think that Floyd was never, you know, never felt in danger in that fight, even with what, Conor landing an awkward uppercut in the first round. So what? And I think that Floyd, But I think that he fought the way he fights everyone, and why would he change that necessarily just because – why would he – what's the point of Floyd taking Conor out sooner when, you know, he probably – you know, he might have had money on that eighth round. and, you know, Conor would have been more dangerous early, right? You saw how fast he gassed. Might as well. He let him shoot his load. That was the game plan. He explained it. Sal Pal repeated it for us. He let him shoot his load, and then he did what he did. Floyd did what he does.
Rafe, I may have stumbled into something here. That matchup doesn't suck because you're automatically knee-jerk and going, no, at 47, Oscar will still wash him. And you're like, okay, what if Oscar got in shape? The technique's still there. I mean, there'd still be power on the left hook, but he'd be fighting like a prime 31-year-old athlete who can fight a little bit at least. I mean, what about just the stamina? Could he drag Oscar into some Pacquiao deep waters, you know?
I'm going to need to see. Oh, he can't. What are you talking about? I feel like Oscar probably has a better chance of going 12 strong rounds than Conor at this point. He gasses in every fight, that doesn't he?
A little bit. But you got to remember a couple things about Conor.
Did I not know I'm half black?
Yeah! That was so corny.
It really was.
I'm half black from the belly button down.
Yeah, that was from Brooklyn. That was awful. Forget we ever played that. I don't know. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I should ask Oscar.
Yes, Oscar.
I mean, I know the interview already.
He always entertains that question.
I know the interview already. They've already heard the interview by now, so maybe they've heard me ask that.
This is getting like Inception all of a sudden.
I'm going to watch that movie every day for 2,000 days. Anyway, right?
Oh,
that's...
man, your brain is going to just melt.
All right, what's the movie I need to watch from Lionel Thompson again?
The Equalizer. And you will like it.
We're going to have a breakdown of that show next
I'm
week.
I'm down. Okay? You owe me Lionheart also.
Lionheart? Is that a Michael Dudikoff movie?
No, but that's American Ninja, and you might owe me that also.
Okay, Rafe. Okay.
Lionheart is a very, very, very good Van Damme movie.
All right. That's the show for this week. Special thanks again to Oscar, to you people just like tweet me, being like, yo, where's the damn show? Give it to me. And I'm like, yo, there ain't much going on. They want it. They want a piece of this. They want the soundboard that I can't keep up with. All right. They're like, if you just milk it, just fill the time.
Mistake Konotsky makes, one man's opinion, is he should have milked it.
I milked it this whole show, Rafe. Okay.
I gave a little bit of milk to this show too.
Thank you. All right. Do you have any thing you want to tell the people? You have a set coming up at the Comedy Store or Caroline's?
I will not be. I my comedy tour has been canceled. I'm trying to be responsible right now. I am going down to Florida though to open up. I'm going to be the new Bruce Buffer at UFC 249.
All right. Thank you.
Is that the right number?
Yeah, it is.
Hell yes.
Empty Arenas, Jacksonville, Florida. Be there. Follow him at Rafe Boogs on Twitter. One day he's going to write a book about box, okay? And I'm going to buy it. Thank you. All right?
I texted you. It's going to be the Buck Smith story.
I love it. I love it. Actually, you should just do a full.
Have you checked his box, Rick?
No.
Are you? Oh, my God.
All right. I got to get woke to that. Can you just legendary. Do Sean Gibbons autobiography?
Well, Gibbons is a big, big part of the Buck Smith story. I mean, that was their crew. They were the knuckleheads.
Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. We were talking about Floyd before. Floyd doesn't do a lot of interviews, and even rarer, do you get like real Floyd, where he's telling like the truth, right? He's got a defense up, right, Rafe? He has very programmed counter answers for everything, and when you push too deep on any subject, he'll slip it like he's slipping a punch. Okay, we know that, right? In fact, do you remember that time I interviewed him? It was January 2017 at ESPN. We did like a Facebook Live, and it was around the time that we started banging the drum for the Conor fight, and he was there to promote Badu Jack against James DeGale. And it was like one of the rare times that like he kind of went off script and was fun, and we went back and forth. If you could interview Floyd right now, like what would you – and he was going to give you 100% truth. What would you ask him? Because I would, like, without question be like, how close were you to potentially getting stopped from that punch from Maidana to end round three of the rematch? You know, the one that the tooth reportedly went flying?
You've watched that video, right? There was no tooth. I mean, like, it looked like it might have been, like, some saliva, but that wasn't a tooth.
Or how close were you, you know, when Mosley rocked you or whatever? Because anytime anyone asks him or Leonard that, they give you such a canned response. You know, is there anything you would, like, really want to know?
I would think I would actually just go I would be more interested in weird personal stories, weird just stuff about all the people he's hung out with, all of the celebrity dirt and gossip, fighting Chris Brown at a Whataburger, all that kind of garbage, you know, like the behind the scenes at Girl Collection, hanging out with Brian Campbell at Girl Collection. No, I want to know, did it really exist? Who got out of the sauna first at Girl Collection? You or Floyd?
Three guys and hard men.
it did not exist, thank you. There's only two things I care about.
It's a simple concept. Bitches and cigarettes. Everybody's
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Anyway, all right, that's it. The show's over, Rafe. Great talking to you. His name is Rafe Booked. Pinos inspires him. That's your boy, BC, at State of Combat. It's Skinhead White Week next week. Dana White, UFC 249. We got a lot of interviews on this pod, a lot of preview action. Sugar Rashad Evans, all that. Rafe won't be watching. I will be. If you get down like that, get down in this. And that's it, Rafe, okay? Take us out of here.
We out.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.